Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's Mr. Jagger and the boys bringing us back. The little Stones bringing us back. 17 to the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. And the world is happy about that. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Chad Moutre is our guest, our good friend, longtime 13-year Brain Trust member. We're celebrating his 13th anniversary, folks. He's a member of our Brain Trust, and he couldn't be happier. His mother is so proud. I think she said something like this to Chad. So, Chad, it's come to this. Right? Is that what she said, something about that, like that?
When you told probably her, did.
Yeah.
You probably did.
So Chad's the National Association of Manufacturers Chief Economist. He's got a real great job and does a great job in it. And Chad, we're talking about the attitude, the sentiment of manufacturers. You poll them. You poll your members on a quarterly basis. You gave us a cautiously optimistic report in the last segment.
Now we'll bring you down on this.
There you go. The implications, the global trends are not exactly exciting these days, are they?
So, you know, so going back to a little bit of some more of the more challenging elements of it. So we got new industrial production numbers last week. The good news is the numbers for June were a little higher, so 0.4%. But you still have that long-term trend. You know, overall, over the last 12 months, manufacturing production is only up 0.4%, right? So that's essentially stagnant. So, you know, the good news is it's not negative, but you know, the sector really has been, and we've talked about this on the air in the past, has been challenged by, you know, a still pretty strong dollar, up around 21% over the last 2 years. The global economy, you know, the U.S. still looks pretty good relative to a lot of our competitors. And you still have commodity prices, which, while they've improved from where they were at the beginning of the year, they still are pretty low. So you take energy, obviously everyone knows about where gasoline prices are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of our manufacturing members also sell into the ag space. That's where, you know, obviously corn and soybeans, a lot of other commodities are still pretty low. And the metals sector, the steel and aluminum are still...
Aluminum is just dragging the bottom.
They, you know, they obviously...
I own some Alcoa stock. I can't get rid of it. I'm stuck.
So, I mean, the commodity prices are pretty low. I mean, obviously, part of that is a China story, that China continues to slow. Part of that is just, you know, where the dollar is, as well as, you know, those sectors would also allege some dumping taking place. But, you know, overall, you know, it's kind of commodities overall are challenged. And so I know I mentioned in the first segment, manufacturing employment's down 24,000 this year.
Let me stop you for a second. You mentioned the strong dollar. The strong dollar is because the dollar is a safe haven, right?
That is correct.
It's a place where people are going when they're worried about other parts of the world, which there's a lot of those parts that are worrisome. But
you saw a little bit of that over in the last couple of weeks because of Brexit.
Hasn't the dollar been getting a double whammy now, because the pound is taking a dive, the euro's taking a dive? That doesn't help the American manufacturer either, does it?
It makes it a lot harder for us to sell abroad. The pound itself, just looking at the pound post Brexit, is up around 12-13% from where it was pre Brexit. So. That's obviously something that will help the British economy, hopefully.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, in terms of selling into the UK, you know, that's a pretty significant headwind. We sell a lot of machinery, transportation equipment, chemicals, pharmaceuticals into the UK. They're our fourth largest trading partner, and so, you know, that certainly is an important market for us. And right now, at least for right now, that you've seen a little bit slower growth.
In general, what did your members? Was their attitude about the Brexit vote?
Well, I think, you know, going into it, I think a lot of like a lot of folks, they didn't think it was going to happen. So there was a bit of a surprise element to it. I think the biggest thing that I would say with regard to Brexit is a more of a wait and see approach. I mean, I think really, to be honest, nothing really has changed, at least for now. The UK is still part of the European Union, and there's assuming they file papers to start the divorce proceedings.
Over the next 2 years, it's going to happen.
It'll happen, but for now, at least, everything is still there. So I think that initially there was this shock, and I think people have kind of calmed down a little
What's going to be, let's fast forward 2 years, what's that going to do to American manufacturing?
Well,
Is that going to be any change, really, at all?
Well, I think what will happen is the divorce proceedings are going to be messy, right? Divorces are always messy. The European Union is not going to want them to go easily, right, because they don't want a slippery slope starting. And so I think from a U.S. manufacturing perspective, we want to continue having access to British markets. So obviously new trade agreements are going to have to be negotiated. You know, regulatory regimes are going to have to be reexamined. But the real worry, I guess, is the British economy itself. Keep in mind that half of all British exports go to the European Union. They attract a lot of foreign direct investment from the European Union. If that suddenly, you know, in worst-case scenario, is cut off, that could send their economy in the wrong direction. So they're an important market for us. We don't want that to happen. So I think those are that's the biggest uncertainty that's out there.
But isn't really, though, but let's take it one step, one level of implication further. If with this thing that's going to happen over the next 2 years, that's going to be a precedent, a pattern, a roadmap, a track, a trend for other members of EU. If this breaks up the EU, what are those implications for U.S. manufacturing?
Well, there definitely is a slippery slope effect there, and that's part of what the EU is trying to stop. You know, my personal sense is that in the short term there's going to be some pain, and the long term it probably won't matter.
Yeah.
Those trade agreements are going to be in place. Access to those markets are still going to be there.
Hopefully the rest of the world won't be in such peril by then.
So we have a couple few years of uncertainty, but hopefully some good times in
the long
run.
Absorb it. We're going to talk about politics when we come back. I'm going to see what the manufacturers think about the presidential candidates after these messages. Tintail, Chad Mutrey and I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.